The following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
The ball sends it over to Edward Robles. Go and Surname FC!
What is up, everybody? My name is Hector Flores, host of the Insert Name FC podcast, a member of the Belly Up Sports Media Network. You can find us on all things social media, Instagram, the X at Insert Name FC. Find us on TikTok at insert.name.fc. But who knows how long that's going to last? But because there's a potential ban, I think. I don't know. I'm not up to date with stuff like that. But I've been seeing that around. Check us out on anything podcasting, Apple, Spotify, Pandora, wherever you get your podcast fix from, you can find us there. Also check us out on YouTube. Please subscribe, especially if you guys know about the jersey bet that I have placed involving Sevilla and Olympic Lyon. The only way you're going to be able to enter into that is by going on YouTube, being a subscriber to YouTube. So make sure you guys go ahead and check us out on YouTube so we can grow that platform up exponentially for sure as well. But this episode is another day. It's funny because, like, just as I was going to start recording, I mentioned the Fenerbahce and Trabzonspor game that was coming up, and apparently a fan decided to storm the field and try to fight the players, and he got his ass whooped. So the definition of fuck around, he found out. So, which, you know what, I'm going to say this, and this is something that came from part of my take. They said it a bunch of times, but I feel like players have every right to beat the shit on a fan that's willing to, you know, try to start shit with them. So I'm fine with it. I'm not against it by any means. So I just thought it was a funny story. But yeah, so this episode we have overreactions. We have an overreaction, kind of involves Houston in some sense. There's no headlines today, but the roster for the U.S. men's national team for the CONCACAF Nations League has been released. So I'll go ahead and look at that and share you guys my thoughts on the roster. So we'll get to that. We also have an interview with Majib Marana of Birmingham Legion FC. This is our first active player interview, so really awesome. I know Majib from my time over at the Houston Dynamo, so really cool to get this interview and really excited for y'all to hear this one out because I think it's going to be a banger. Though I say everything's going to be a banger. Europa League and Champions League, the quarterfinals are over. Also Europa Conference League, but like I said, we're not going to cover that till we get to the semifinals. But the quarterfinals have been set. We're not previewing the quarterfinals. We're actually going to do an actual legitimate preview the week before their matches start. But just recap the matches and then give you guys, I guess, my, you know, first time reaction to the matchups, at least. But there's no predictions right now. It is right now just strictly recapping and reacting to it. But for Europa League and Champions League, announce our players of the week, give you guys some games to watch this coming weekend, and we have a five-a-side draft with Peter Van Seventer of Belly of Fantasy, the Belly of Fantasy site. He came on to do the draft. The draft was, what was the topic? Bucket list sporting events. So that was the topic. Really fun topic. Peter is a Tottenham fan, and yeah, it went exactly how you think it would go, especially with all the shit that I've been talking about Tottenham for a very long time. It didn't go like hostile or anything like that, but obviously it was addressed at some point in the discussion. But But awesome to have him on. Hopefully we could bring him on for some footy talk. Dude knows ball, so definitely want to bring him on at some point. But yeah, that is the episode. I think it's gonna be really fun. I hope you guys can sit back and enjoy this episode. It's gonna be a really fun one. Our first ever active player is coming on, and it's awesome too because it's USL Championship. It's a league that I want to get more knowledgeable of. I want to watch it a little bit more. Because one, USL actually does have a promotion relegation system in some sort. At least they're going to try to implement that. I don't know if they're implementing it now or it's going to be something further down the road, but they are planning on it because they do have the USL Championship and League One and League Two. So it's interesting to see how that's going to work out. So I'm intrigued. But yeah. So I definitely want to get more invested in the USL. And the fact that Majib plays for Birmingham, one, obviously, is Majib. It's a guy that I mess with. He's from Houston. So obviously he's already got my stamp of approval. And we're talking about Birmingham. So remember, Spencer has ties to Alabama. He's from Alabama. So maybe I should commit to Birmingham Legion in FC. Maybe. We'll see. We'll figure things out. But obviously there is Majib. There is a reason for me to at least support the team because my boy Majib is on it. But I mean, I will say Spencer is from Alabama, so maybe we'll see we'll get there when we get there, but that's all I really got, man. So we're gonna go ahead and take a break, and then we'll go right into overreaction. Hey guys, this is Hector from the Insert Name FC podcast, here to tell you guys about Canada Dips. It is a great tasting superior alternative to traditional dip using CBD in a way that is radical, enjoyable, and effective. It comes in 5 core flavors: wintergreen, mint, citrus, mango, and American spice. Canada Dip CBD is the new evolution in dip, allowing guys to enjoy great, long-lasting taste without the downsides. If you guys want to go ahead and try them out, use the code BELLYUP20 at CanadaDipCBD.com. Once again, BELLYUP20 at CanadaDipCBD.com, and you'll get yourself 20% off your purchase. Thank you again for Canada Dips for being a great partner of Belly Up Sports. All right, guys. So, overreactions, man. Hopefully you guys can hear me from where I'm at. Overreactions, man. So my overreaction for this past weekend, or this past week, I'll just say past week. It has been announced. Let me make sure that this is accurate as well. Because it was announced that Tigres and Inter Miami will be playing in Houston, Texas for their Leagues Cup play. So that's where Tigres will be playing. So essentially, Houston will be the hub city for Tigres. And so they'll be playing in their group. They have Puebla and Inter Miami in their group. And so they'll be playing Puebla in Shell Energy. And then because of Inter Miami being in this group, their matchup will be played at NRG Stadium. If you guys don't know NRG Stadium, NRG Stadium is where the Houston Texans play. So it's an NFL stadium. And being that the magnitude is, we're talking about Tigres, one of the biggest clubs in Mexico. And here in Houston, it has a very big fan base here. Mix that in with Inter Miami, which is basically the 2015 Barcelona with Jordi Alba, Sergio Busquets, Luis Suarez, and most importantly, Lionel Messi. So because of these two giant juggernauts, if you will, when it comes to it, just there wouldn't be enough seats in Shell Energy Stadium that's going to gain the attention for this matchup. So they moved it into NRG Stadium. And I'm going to say this. There are certain Dynamo fans that we're immediately not happy that another MLS team is going to be able to pack, and I do feel very confident when I say this, pack a football stadium, an NFL stadium, versus, you know, the current attendance of the Houston Dynamo. And when I think of this, I'm going to say this. And I'm going to say this as nice as humanly possible. This is not just some other MLS team. we are talking about a team that comprises of Luis Suarez, Jordi Alba, Sergio Busquets, and of course, Lionel Messi. So no, this is not just any other MLS team. This is a team that has Lionel Messi in it. Now, will they would have had garnered the same amount of attention if Messi wasn't in Miami? No, this would be played in Shell Energy Stadium. But because we're talking about Lionel Messi and how we have seen the Messi tour, the Messi mania, continue on here in the U.S., it's packed every single stadium. So, yes, that's why it's garnered to be put in NRG Stadium. Yes, I understand that it is a slap to the face of the Houston Dynamo, that people would rather see that team than the Houston Dynamo. But here is the harsh, harsh reality to those Dynamo fans. And I am right there with you. I do think that it is sad that we can't fill up a stadium with a team that, granted, right now has not looked great. As well, as I'm talking about this, they're currently winning 1-0 to Portland. And it's obvious for obvious reasons. It's just injuries. Injuries is the reason why. And it's still early in the season, so frankly, I don't care. I don't care. Like I said, I don't care about standings until we hit after MLS All-Star break. But the thing is, this team is actually finally enjoyable to watch. And you guys can say that like the games that they have played have not been enjoyable, but I'm going to say that they have been because the team is better defensively, and there's clearly something there. We're just missing key pieces, i.e., Hector Herrera. But, and of course, a striker would help at some point. But I am sick and tired of hearing this constant beating of a dead horse. The reality is, Houston is a soccer hub. There's a reason why Houston got approved to host World Cup matches. There's a reason why Houston's going to be featured in Copa America. There's a reason that Houston is one of the destinations for a lot of these international tours that some of these big clubs in Europe, you know, do, because there's a clear soccer fandom here in Houston, Texas. The problem is, and I don't know why this seems to be an issue for some people, those fans don't care about the Houston Dynamo. They don't care specifically about the MLS. That's just the way it is. The Dynamo has not done, and I'm sick and tired of blaming it on the Dynamo. The Dynamo has no fault. The Dynamo is just there. They just exist. They have done everything that it has needed to be done. I'm sorry, but they have. They brought in Hector Herrera, which I think was a very good, smart signing because A, he's talented. B, he's Mexican, so we were able to at least gain attention from the Mexican market. And mind you, this stadium would not be fully packed, but would have more numbers had Hector been in the field. So that's one. But two, they've done the part. They clearly have improved the roster. The roster is better than what it was a couple years ago. They got rid of the shitty owners that everyone was talking about. They're gone. We have a new owner. So stop complaining. It's no longer on the Dynamo. Their marketing is actually impressive. The fact that they're able to use references from the city, the fact that they were the first, and I will stay on that island for as long as humanly possible, but they were the first Houston sports team to collaborate with the Houston Rappers. As a matter of fact, their marketing was so impressive that we started seeing Texans grab people from the Dynamo to help improve their social media, their social media department. So don't sit here and tell me that the Dynamo is the reason why things are like this. It is because people, frankly, don't care about the MLS. I'm sorry, but that's the fact. So I'm sorry to the Houston Dynamo fans that are so in this, like, anger. I get it. I'm I'm rocking a Dynamo jersey right now as we speak. It does irritate me because this is what we get made fun of from everyone in the MLS world. We get made fun of for not having fans in the stadium. We can't pack a stadium. That's always been our biggest thing. We cannot pack a stadium. And yeah, I can go back and use the good old days back in when they played at U of H. Like, I can even refer when they first built the stadium that's now named Shell Energy, that they were able to get a good crowd. What happened from then? I don't know. But it's clear that the club has put in an effort. They have done all the accommodations that they can humanly possible. The seating are amazing. The mesh seating is super comfortable. And when it gets hot, it's not going to be unbearable to sit there. Stop using the weather as an excuse. Because people have gone out and have been at U of H games, at Rice games, in a lot worse circumstances and still have attended. So stop using the weather as an excuse. Stop using the time as an excuse. You know, there's other ways to get there besides driving. Besides you driving, you could take an Uber so you don't have to pay for parking. So stop with the excuses. The reality is that there's people that just don't care for MLS. And that is a big chunk of the Houston soccer fandom. They just frankly don't care. So once you guys can get that out of your thick skulls, that Houston simply doesn't care. Majority of Houston soccer fans don't care about the MLS. Because that's really the reality. That is the problem. That is the misconnection. It is not that the Dynamo aren't doing a better job. It isn't that the Dynamo aren't signing marquee signings. And honestly, the marquee signing crap is got to stop. It's got to stop. You're telling me that the reason why teams need to do to pack their stadium is to get major signings, when that I know that's completely false, because there are teams that have great attendance that don't necessarily have that knockout punch marquee player. As a matter of fact, there's teams that don't even have a player like Hector Herrera with that magnitude of status. Not, you know, that's. That they still pay. Atlanta United, great crowd. Do they have a player that's significantly as high statured as Hector Herrera? No. You look at Seattle. No. Pedro de la Vega is not at the same level as Hector Herrera. LAFC. I could do this all day. The reality is that there's a lot of people in Houston that don't give MLS the time of day, that they view the MLS as an inferior product, that they would much rather watch EPL. They'd rather much rather watch La Liga. They'd much rather watch anything else but MLS because they still think MLS is an inferior product. They have not given MLS the light of day. That is the real problem. So, it isn't a Dynamo issue. It isn't a Houston fan issue. It is the fact that there's people in Houston that refuses to even give it a shot. And honestly, I don't know what's going to do it. I really don't know. I'll sit here and tell you, I don't think an MLS Cup would get Houston Dynamo fans, would get Houston Dynamo packed stadiums. I don't. And I don't think just because you sign a marquee player doesn't mean that that's going to guarantee you fans. It's not. It might get you a few full houses, but it's not going to get you everything. And the reason also, like I said, a big reason why there's a lot of people that don't go to Dynamo games right now is because Hector Herrera is hurt. That's their only reason to go watch Dynamo, is to go see Hector Herrera. And he's not playing right now. So I don't know what the solution is. I'm not here to tell you the solution. I just know what the problem is. And it's just the problem is still that there's people out there that doesn't take the MLS seriously, and that's why you can't pack the Houston Dynamo matches, because we have seen Shell Energy Stadium packed. whether it's to go see El Salvador, go see Honduras, go see Guatemala, whether it's somehow Mexico's playing in there, a Liga MX team is playing in there. So stop using the argument. The real reality is that there's a lot of soccer fans here in Houston that doesn't respect the MLS. And if they don't respect the MLS, they're not going to respect the Dynamo. So there's that. That is my overreaction. So I just needed to get that out of my system. But all right. We have the call-ups for the U.S. Men's National Team for the CONCACAF Nations League. There's too many tournaments now. So the matches will be the first semifinal matchup will be the first game, which is the semifinal, will be March 21st, which the U.S. will be placing Jamaica, March 21st, 7 p.m. Eastern time at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. You can watch that in either Univision or in Paramount Plus. And then the potential final will be March 24th, still in Arlington, Texas. So that's going to be the international break this week. So that is what it's that's going on this week. This coming week is going to be the Nations League. So here are the players. So actually, by the time this episode drops, the semifinal has been played already. So hopefully the U.S. advance and beat Jamaica. So we'll see what happens there. But all right, so here is the roster. So we're going to go with goalkeepers. So we have Drake Callender from Inter Miami. He has yet to have made a single appearance for the U.S., but got the call up. Ethan Horvath from Cardiff City, who has 9 appearances so far for the U.S. men's national team. And of course, Matt Turner, 37 appearances for the U.S. men's national team currently at Nottingham Forest. Though his kind of issue right now is that he isn't really playing for Nottingham Forest. So he's most likely going to be the starting goalkeeper. The challenge would be, you know, he's just got to make his time, you know, still show his value there. For people that are probably wondering about Gaga Slonina or Schulte or any of those guys, obviously U23 call-ups are also coming up, you know, the Olympics. So because the Olympics is also coming up this summer. So I'm sure Gaga Slonina would be the starting goalkeeper for that Olympic team. So I think that it's important for him to gain some repertoire with the U23 team as much as humanly possible. So I'm actually all for him going there. Drake Callender, I mean, he's going to be the third goalkeeper. So he's not really going to play. The same thing for Ethan Horvath, even though Ethan Horvath has actually been playing since he went to Cardiff City. But, Matt Turner, until proven wrong, it's Matt Turner at goalkeeper. All right, defenders, we have Sergino Dest from PSV Eindhoven, who has 32 appearances for the U.S. Christopher Lund from Palermo with 3 appearances for the U.S. Mark McKenzie from Genk with 13 appearances. Tim Ream of Fulham with 55 appearances. Chris Richards of Crystal Palace with 14 appearances. Anthony Robinson of Fulham, who's actually been doing great at Fulham this season, with 39 appearances for the U.S. Miles Robinson of FC Cincinnati with 28 appearances. And Joe Scally of Borussia Mönchengladbach with 8 appearances. Now, to point out, Sergino Dest will be unavailable for the semifinal game against Jamaica, being because of that red card that he got. So we'll see Joe Scally, which I'm really intrigued by. Joe Scally has really been the highlight of Borussia Mönchengladbach. So I can't wait to see what to see from him as a starter alongside Anthony Robinson. Miles Robinson, I think he's just going to be like that guy that Greg Berhalter just wants to see. So, I mean, there's that. Do I want him to see him out there? Ideally, no. I'd like to see Tim Ream and Chris Richards. So, ideally, I would like to see a backline of Sergino Dest, Chris Richards, Tim Ream, and Anthony Robinson. I mean, Tim Ream somehow has just flipped the script on me. I actually like him now, so that's crazy to think. I think it's because now I'm 32, so maybe it's because I'm pulling for the 30-year-olds. Maybe that's what it is. Midfield. Tyler Adams is returning to the U.S. men's national team at Bournemouth with 36 appearances. Johnny Cardoso from Real Betis, who has looked really good since going to Real Betis with 9 appearances for the U.S. men's national team. Luca Della Torre of Celta Vigo, 20 appearances for the U.S. Weston McKennie of Juventus with 49 appearances for the U.S. Yunus Musah, currently playing at AC Milan with 33 appearances. And Gio Reyna of Nottingham Forest with 24 appearances for the U.S. Look, as much as I love Tyler Adams, as much as I enjoy watching him play, and I love what he his factor, and I even donned him the captain myself, but you know, he has been dealing with injuries. I don't imagine he would be starting. I think he'll come off the bench, and because Johnny Cardoso looks really good, I like what I'm seeing from Johnny Cardoso. I think he is the future six for the U.S. men's national team. And not only is he the future, but I think he's kind of more and more shifting on to be the first choice guy. So I would like to see Johnny Cardozo. I think he will get a lot of starts for the U.S. and we'll see him play both matches. I mean, Weston McKennie, the dude's an X factor, man. You got to have him on the field. And Gio Reyna, kind of similar with Matt Turner. He just needs to take advantage of his opportunities. We know he's good. When he's on, he's on. So we'll see what happens there, man. But yeah, I want to see something from Gio Reyna here. He needs to step up. He has been actually kind of a beast for these Nations League matches, so hopefully he can continue that form. But at least that's what I'm hoping to see in the midfield going into this Nations League call up. Forwards, Folarin Balogun from Monaco in France with 8 appearances. Malik Tillman of PSV, he has 8 appearances with the US. Ricardo Pepi of PSV with 22 appearances. Christian Pulisic of AC Milan with 64 appearances. I believe that's the most appearances from any American player. Yeah, it looks like it. Josh Sargent of Norwich with 23 appearances with the US. And Timothy Weah of Juventus with 35 appearances for the US. Obviously, Pepe has not been playing a lot of games for Eindhoven, PSV. Obviously, because you have Luke de Jong, starting over him. So I would expect Balogun to take to be starting. I think that's what we've been seeing a lot lately. So I think Balogun will get the start. Obviously, you're going to have Captain America Christian Pulisic on the left side. And I think Tim Weah is on the right side. I don't think you're going to change that front three at all. But Josh Sargent, we got to see him at some point because he has been on fire over at Norwich this year. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, but I do expect to see our usual suspects in the front three. So I'm really intrigued. There's obviously Nations League, they're going for the three-peat, I guess you can say. All right, guys, just wanted to give you a quick update on the U.S. men's national team roster. So both Luca Della Torre and Josh Sargent have got hit with injuries, so they will not be available for the Nations League semifinal and final. So they are actually been pulled out of the roster, and taking their spots will be Brendan Aaronson and Haji Wright, which, if you guys just watched this recently, Haji Wright just had a pretty good game. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, so just a quick update, just so you guys know. So that happened. We'll see how it goes, man. I'm really excited to see how these matches go. But yeah, that is the Nations League. So we're gonna go ahead and segue on to my interview with Birmingham Legion FC defender Majid Marana.
Are you ready to elevate your sports betting experience? Look no further than DraftKings Sportsbook. Why choose DraftKings Sportsbook? Unmatched variety. Bet on your favorite sports leagues or discover new ones to follow. Live betting. Test your instincts and feel the adrenaline as you bet in real time while the game unfolds. Promotions and boosted odds. DraftKings keeps the excitement going with a range of promotions, odds boosts, and special offers. And a user-friendly interface. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or new to the game, DraftKings' intuitive platform makes placing bets a breeze. Ready to dive in? BellyUp Sports has partnered with DraftKings Sportsbook to give you an exclusive offer. Sign up at dkng.co/BellyUp150, and new customers will get $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet $5 or more. Don't miss out on this opportunity to take your love for sports to the next level. Sign up today and let the games begin. Please gamble responsibly. 21 years or older. Eligibility restrictions apply. See website for details.
All right, guys, joining me is a Houston Dynamo Academy graduate, also attended St. Louis University, and is currently playing for the Birmingham Legion FC. And that is, of course, someone I would like to say is a dear friend. We were both co-workers at the Houston Dynamo. Majid Marana, first of all, you're actually our first active player to come on the show, just letting you know.
Let's go. Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
So, yeah. So, like I mentioned, me and him were former co-workers at the Houston Dynamo. So, if anybody thought I was lying that I used to do people's laundry, I did it. So, but of course, man, first question that we always ask people that come on is, what was it that got you into football, soccer?
For me, honestly, it's just in my blood. I don't really have a specific answer to that. I just remember one day I was alive and I started kicking a ball. And ever since, I haven't stopped.
That's a very fair answer. I think, especially when you grow up in a culture where that's like the first thing they put on our feet is a soccer ball. So I can, obviously I'm not at your level, but I do agree to that I was also the same way. So obviously, eventually you started playing a lot. When did you have that realization that like you're pretty good at soccer?
I would say probably around the age of 15 is when I felt that I was actually good enough to go pro. I had a coach named Darren Back from the U15 at Houston Dynamo Academy, and he instilled a lot of confidence and hard work in me. And from then, I just kind of knew that I had a chance. And if I worked really hard at it, then I might maybe one day become a pro.
You know, you mentioned the Houston Dynamo Academy. And how did that initially come into play? Like, what level were you playing at any club before you went to the Dynamo? And how did that process go when they started reaching out to you?
Yeah, so I played at a couple local clubs. One of them is Sugarland Arsenal. The other one was West Houston Soccer Club. And my older brother, who was also in the academy, his team was pretty good. I remember they would play these like state select cups and like classic cups. And his team was pretty good. They like travel all the time. And eventually, all his teammates just started leaving the team. And we're like, why are you guys leaving the team? Like, we're so good. Like, why is everybody leaving? And then we found out they were going to this club called the Houston Dynamo. So then my dad found out, oh, okay, everyone's going there. You have to go try out. So I think at the time, I don't know if they do it anymore, there was a program called a COE or a Center of Excellence. And it was an 8-week trial. So I did that 8-week trial, and from there I joined the academy at age 12, and the rest is history.
Did you feel like you had more resources? I know, I mean, from my firsthand experience with the academy, I felt like, you know, like these kids had like a personal, like almost like a personal trainer, a whole staff, like even, you know, like I guess someone that's, you know, tracking them on their, on their pace and all that. Is that like some things that you feel like is an advantage over being at another club?
Definitely. I think being in the academy system, it's definitely an advantage. I think it's more serious than, you know, being at a local club. I think there's benefits to both sides because you don't want to coach a kid too early or tell a kid to do too much too early. You still want to, you know, make sure the kid is having fun. But for young players and parents that kind of know my kid has a talent or my kid is like a very determined kid, I would definitely say push him in the academy path. And because, yes, there is definitely an advantage. I think there's better coaches in the academy system, just better overall players. You know, the best players want to play with the best players. That's in Real Madrid or every, like in the top level and even in U12 level, the best players want to play with the best players. So I definitely think there is an advantage.
So as you're continuing on with the academy, there's that, I guess, that fork in the road, I guess, if you can say, where the pro level what you want to continue pursuing or go collegiate. For you, what did you weigh? What were your options when you were weighing that in? And how would you compare the college recruiting process versus, I guess, how they reached you out for the academy?
So for the academy, again, I think it's a little different for me. I don't really know how it works now, but back when I was 12, it was more of a you personally, like, went to one of these camps, or at least for me, this is my process, was we just went to the camp and we trialed. I'm sure there was scout out also at that time, scouting kids, and maybe kids were getting invitations, but that wasn't my process. My process was my dad just believed I was good enough to make one of these teams, and we did that. But I do think the process of collegiate recruiting and academy is pretty much the same at whatever age group. There's coaches everywhere scouting from the ages of from U10, U12 and up. And by the time we get to U16, U17, we have these showcases, which, you know, you have these national team coaches there, or you have these college coaches there that come watch your games. And that's kind of how that process goes for, you know, getting recruited and stuff. So I kind of think the academy process of getting recruited into the academy and college process is pretty much all the same.
Okay. And obviously you choose St. Louis University. What was it about that program that enticed you? I mean, there's some notable alumni from that. I mean, Brian McBride, Brad Davis, and Tim Ream, just to name a few. But what was it that made you want to commit to St. Louis?
Honestly, I would say a couple of those names played a big part. I'm a defender, and, you know, Tim Ream is somebody that one I look up to now. This man he's hit the peak of his career toward the end of his career, which is just shows the commitment that he's had and the hard work that he's put in. And just, you know, being able to be in an environment and, you know, walk in the same locker rooms, be in the same weight room, and just, you know, kind of like follow the same things these guys did. You know, that was one thing that stood out to me. I love winning. I love winning. I think we all love winning. And St. Louis, you know, historically, we're the best college in history. So, again, I think I am a person who believes in history. And, you know, I think history repeats itself. I felt it was going to put me in a good position to, you know, develop and stuff as a soccer player. But also, St. Louis is a great school overall. And I think it has one of the best business schools in the nation. And I'm Nigerian, and education is something that's, you know, my dad's always harped on. If I were to fail a class, my dad would not let me play soccer. So when I was a kid, so I realized that early, and that's something that just stuck with me. So I kind of knew going to St. Louis, I would get the best of both worlds. So that process is kind of easy.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. So you go into the college level, you know, you went from the academy now in college. What was something that you right away was like, I need to get better at this to compete in this level?
Right away, I would say the physicality in college is just more more challenging than the academy level. I think in the academy level, you're still playing against kids your own age, unless, you know, you're one of those kids who's playing up. But I really wasn't one of those kids who got to play up. I played up maybe once or twice in my academy days. So going to the college level, the physicality is better and just tougher, just because You know, I was a freshman playing against some senior who were like 22, 23 grown men already. You know, these guys are ready to, you know, ready to compete. Like, they've been doing this for the last 3 years. They've been competing at a much higher physical level. So I think kind of having to adapt to that physical level is something that was a little challenging for me. I think I remember my freshman year, I would just be in awe sometimes of the level and just the physicality, the challenges and the tackles that players were putting in. And sometimes I would find myself scared, you know, to go in these tackles, but eventually that's just something you develop after being in that environment for some time.
I was about to say, man, because when I met you, I was like, damn, this dude's pretty stout. So for you to mention that, I mean, college did what they were supposed to, I guess. So I mean, it worked wonders for sure. So you end up getting signed to the Houston Dynamo for your first pro contract. Obviously, this is where it all started for you with the academy. When you came back to Houston, did you feel that it was anything different from when you were last there, or was it about the same?
I think there was a lot of differences. A lot of new faces, obviously. I think a lot of the management had changed. There was a coach there, though, from kind of the beginning, Daniel Roberts. I think he got hired or was there like by my U15 year. He was also in the academy and he's still there. And Dan is somebody that I leaned on and, you know, just worked with me a lot. And yeah, so he's a familiar face. So I don't think too much change. But again, as you can tell, you know, just the management has changed a little bit. So just some different faces. I do believe the club is still overall has the same goals and ambitions.
Yeah, obviously this you went in there the second. Were you with them for the first time for the MLS Next Pro year, or was it?
Yeah, so my first year I was with the second team with the Next Pro, and then my second year I signed a homegrown with the first team.
So obviously there's some sort of, I guess you could say, responsibilities in that locker room, for yourself being someone that has experience playing in the college level. And in that MLS Next Pro setting, it's a good mixture of guys that are trying to get into that next level, that first team spot, and a lot of academy players. Like, for you, how did you feel was your role in that locker room when you have that mixture of youth and experience?
I'm going to quote Drake here, I think. I felt like I was the rookie and the vet at the same time. That's kind of what I would just describe that as, I think. My first year with the Next Pro team, I was in the leadership group, but I was just, that was my first year being a pro. So, you know, that was a lot of responsibility, and I, you know, that's something that I wanted and blessed that, you know, be a part of that role. I think you just have to kind of contribute what you can contribute and, you know, don't try to do too much. You know, some people have different leadership styles. My leadership style might not be as much vocal because, you know, I'm working on communicating more effectively, but I'm more of a, you know, example kind of guy. So, you know, that was a blessing to have that ability to just, you know, be, you know, a leader, but also just a guy learning from all the other leaders as well.
Obviously, you know, you had that, you trained with MLS Next Pro team, the Dynamo 2, but you also trained a lot with the first team. Was there any player that you're like, I need to pick a lot more from him?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's an easy question. Any person who doesn't look at Hector Herrera and says, this is a guy that I need to try to do everything that he does, then I don't know what you're doing. Hector is the best player by far that I've played with. He's played in multiple World Cups, I think 3 to be exact, or maybe 4. And, you know, he's a great leader. You know, he's a guy who's a vocal leader, but he's also, you know, he leads by example. And then I would also say Darwin Quintero was just a guy in my first year in Houston coming out of college. You know, I think the college game is more about physicality and stepping into that first team environment. I realize there's differences in, you know, technique, and Darwin Quintero is just he's just a different kind of player.
Yeah, shout out to Darwin. I forgot all about that guy. He was definitely a bright spot for the Dynamo for quite some time. Yes, So obviously you're no longer with Houston. Tell me how Birmingham Legion FC came to be. Like how did they reach out to you? Was there any other options that were given to you, or was this the team where you're like, I like what they're doing here and I want to go here?
I believe that me and my team, you know, we were just, you know, thinking of how my off season would go. We put together a plan, and Birmingham Legion was, you know, kind of, you know, the best option, we believe, for me, and it makes sense in what I want to do in my career and where I see my career going. And, you know, my team was able to get me a trial here, and, you know, everything else was history after that.
So far, obviously, you just got there. It's a new team, you know, new setting for you. How are you liking the atmosphere right now in Birmingham? I mean, you guys already got your first dub in the season. You guys are off right now. But what's the energy right now in that locker room?
The energy is it's good. I think, again, like you said, we got one dub, but one dub doesn't mean anything. It's only one game in the season. But the most important part of the season is the end of the season. So just trying to focus and, you know, really build together as a team, you know, getting to know each other off the field, you know, just, you know, building that camaraderie that really, you know, makes the difference between the winning teams and the teams that don't win. And so far, my time here in Birmingham has been fantastic. Like I said, I'm a big city kid as I grew up in Houston, but, you know, kind of switching the vibe and just, you know, being in the nature and just, you know, finding value in new things. It's been a pleasure so far.
That's awesome to hear. You know, obviously you've gotten to go through so many levels of the game. When you're thinking about that young aspiring youth player, what's one word of advice that you would want to give to that player as they start their journey?
Again, this is the most important thing, and I'll always continue to say, is just believe. You have to believe in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, no one will. So that's the biggest thing I can say to young players, just believe in yourself. But don't be naive either. Just because you believe doesn't mean you're going to make it. You have to actually work for it. So, yeah.
That's some really good advice. Obviously, you're still very early in your career, and I think this would be an awesome way to end this interview. Would be, what has been the best piece of advice you've gotten? Could be from a coach, could be from another teammate, could be from your parents. But what has been the best piece of advice that you've gotten so far in your career?
I don't know. I think that's a really tough question. I've had a lot of good coaches. You know, I've taken a piece of advice from all of my coaches, but I think something that I would just say is just do the right thing, you know, just do the right thing overall. You know, again, that could be sleeping on time, you know, watching film. I don't know, but yeah, just do the right thing. And that's something that I think you can apply to just off the field also, you know. I think us as humans, we kind of know when, you know, we're making the right decisions or when we're not making the right decisions, you know. So I think if you can apply that belief or that thing to anything you do in life, then you'll have the key to success right there.
That is perfect, man. Thank you so much for coming on, man. Excited that you were the first active player we ever got to interview. You're definitely one of the guys that I remember the most. I felt very welcomed whenever I first met you with the club, you know, obviously being a guy that doesn't know what to do when it comes to being a professional setting. You guys, you know, the vibe alone, just from you guys, the guys from Dynamo too, even from the first team, it was always welcoming. And I appreciate that you guys were always like that, from my time at the Dynamo. But, all in all, man, amazing person. I am definitely going to be one of your biggest supporters, man. I hope to see big things in your career, man. I'll be rooting for Birmingham Legion. I'll be rooting for you guys. I'll be watching as much USL games as I can for you guys, because, and maybe one day I can drive to Alabama. I it's not that far of a drive. Might have a reason to visit Spencer at some point. Thank you, Majib. This is your time, man. I'm going to give you whatever you want to shamelessly plug right now, what's going on in your career.
Just follow me on Instagram, Ajib_24. Shout out to Houston. Be someone. That's something that I take very personal. And yeah, you know, I love my city. As you know, yeah, I love my city. And yeah, just thank you for having me on. And again, likewise to you, I just felt very welcomed from straight away from the first day that I met you. And you know, I love, you know, just being around good people and being around good energy. And that's, yeah, you know, just like I said, the biggest thing I could say is just one, believe in yourself, but also just do the right thing.
I appreciate that, especially with me constantly doing the corny dad joke of calling you Mo City Don. So,
you know, also, I had to say it at some point. Shout out to, speaking of Mo City, shout out to Hightower High School, man. You know, I will say I went to a predominantly black high school, and for me growing up, there weren't a lot of, in the neighborhood that I grew up in, there weren't a lot of young black kids who played soccer, you know, who most of us play football or basketball. But hey, man, you guys give soccer a try. I know a lot of people didn't see the vision. You know, I could have played football or basketball, but soccer is something I had a passion for. So, yeah, man, for all the people in Mo City, just one, I need your support. You know, come support the boy. But also, yeah, man, shout out Hightower High School. And yeah, man, I'm trying to, you know, put Mo City on in Fresno, Texas, and everybody in that environment. There's a lot of ballers out there. And I don't believe I've gotten anywhere close to where I want to be, but I'm definitely repping for the city, for Fresno and Mo City. So shout out to everybody back home.
All right, man. The Mo City Don himself, Majib. Thank you so much, man. We'll definitely be keeping track of your career, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Righteous Felon Craft Jerky is the official jerky of Belly Up Sports. For over a decade, Righteous Felon Craft Jerky has led the American meat snack revolution by concocting delicious, adventurous, U.S.-sourced jerky recipes for uncompromising carnivores across the country. With 15 different flavors to choose from, Righteous Felon has all jerky lovers covered, and by using promo code BELLYUP, you will get 15% off your purchase at RighteousFelon.com. Do your taste buds a favor today and rip into a bag of Righteous Felon Jerky.
We are back here to talk the recap of the round of 16 for the Europa and Champions League. We're going to do Europa League first, then we'll do Champions League. All right. Yes, they have announced the matches for the quarterfinals. We will share who they are, but we will not preview them until we get closer to the quarterfinals. So that's when we'll do a whole preview. Maybe I'll even invite somebody on to talk. To talk the quarterfinals. Once again, for you guys that wondering about the Europa Conference League, we're not going to touch Europa Conference League. Well, not touch it, but we won't discuss Europa Conference League till the semifinals. So after this round, we will then finally talk about Europa Conference League. It's just some of the teams we're not going to be knowledgeable of, and I don't want to talk about them and not know who they are, essentially. And but we will have social media, you know, we'll still put a social media effort for all that, regardless of it. So we'll still post on social media the matchups for sure. But we won't talk about that. We won't talk about Conference League until we get to the semifinals. But all right, so we're gonna start things off with Europa League, and AC Milan eliminates Slavia Praha 7-3 on aggregate. Wasn't even close. Kind of what you expected. Benfica eliminates Rangers 3-2 on aggregate. First leg was a really tight 2-2 draw, and then Benfica is able to get the 1-0 victory in the second leg. So the matchup went exactly how I was hoping it was going to go, which was going to be a very tight, intense matchup. So I am very happy that it went that way. Villarreal, despite winning the second leg 3-1, are eliminated. They lost to Marseille 5-3 on aggregate. When you have a 4-0 victory in the first leg, it's hard to, you know, the pressure's on the team that's down. And, you know, last thing you want to do is give up a compromising goal to make things even harder, which did end up happening, and that's why Marcelo's moving on. West Ham United, second leg, 5-0 shellacking over SC Freiburg. Going into that matchup, going to being down 1-0. So West Ham United and the boys, David Moyes, and his lads are continuing on into the quarterfinals. Atalanta beats Sporting. Let me verify that. Yeah, Atalanta beats Sporting 3-2 on aggregate. Atalanta, solid performance. I actually watched the second leg. It was very enjoyable. Lots of fun. Roma eliminates Brighton 4-1 on aggregate, despite Brighton winning the second leg 1-0. Once again, when you have a big lead, you don't really have, you know, it's not much pressure on you. But I will say props to De Rossi, man. The team has definitely turned around after they fired Jose Mourinho and put him in charge. The team looks completely different. It's a different kind of energy in that club, and it's fun to see. Look, man, if you guys have ever had Jose Mourinho as your manager, you kind of understand. You understand what everybody else goes through. Anyone that has ever had a team that's been managed by Jose Mourinho, is he a good manager? Definitely. But we also know that at some point you kind of need to move on from the man. But Roma, moving on to the quarterfinals. Bayer Leverkusen eliminates Karabag 5-4 on aggregate. The second leg, they were about to suffer their first loss in the entire season. And luckily, Leverkusen was able to get back together and win that game 3-2 and move on aggregate 5-4. And the last one, Liverpool, it wasn't even close. Liverpool eliminates Sparta Praha 11-2 on aggregate, like I said. Wasn't even close. So that is it for the round of 16. The quarterfinal matchups, like I said, so the quarterfinal matches will be taking place on April 11th and April 18th. So first leg April 11th, second leg April 18th. The matchups are Liverpool versus Atalanta. Very interesting matchup, but you know, and like I said, I'm not gonna make predictions here, but Liverpool versus Atalanta, interesting matchup. But I think we all know who's gonna win that one. Benfica versus Marseille. I like this. It seems like it's going to be a very even one, kind of similar to what happened with Benfica and Rangers. So I'm hoping that's going to be a very interesting matchup as well. We have a little Italy crossplay, which, come on, man. Like, well, I guess now we're in the quarterfinals. I guess it's not that big of a deal, but I would have liked to have seen these two face off against other teams, but AC Milan taking on Roma. So we'll see who moves on to represent Italy, because there's three teams in Italy that are currently representing the quarterfinals, and we're going to lose two of them from the quarterfinals. So at least there's a guarantee that there's going to be one Italian team in the semifinals if you're a Serie A stan. Bayer Leverkusen versus West Ham United. This is going to be interesting, obviously, with all the rumors spectating that Xabi Alonso will be taking over. That Liverpool wants Xabi Alonso. I'm not going to say that he's going to take the job or not, but there's rumors that they want Xabi Alonso. Xabi Alonso has said that he loves it there in Bayer Leverkusen. Well, let's see how he does against a Premier League team. And I think this would be a really good test against West Ham United. So we'll see how that goes. So those are the quarterfinals for the Europa League. Once again, the quarterfinals will be played April 11 and April 18. We'll do predictions kind of get when we're closer to there. So I would say expect the episode that drops on April 5th to have that preview of it. So just so you guys are well aware. But all right, Champions League. I know this is what matters more to you guys. So Champions League. Wasn't even close. Manchester City handles business. Wait a minute. There we go. All right. Oof. All right. We'll wait on Man City. So Bayern Munich eliminates Lazio 3-1 on aggregate, wins the second leg 3-0. Yeah, it was a stellar performance by Harry Kane. So yeah, Bayern Munich. Moving on. In PSG eliminates Real Sociedad 4-1. Hey, they moved on to the next round, so that's a positive for PSG. We'll see how it continues, because obviously this is the last year we'll see Mbappe with PSG. We've been seeing them bench him. We've been seeing him get very limited minutes. So we'll see how that continues on, especially if they keep going deeper into the Champions League. But PSG moving on. Real Madrid eliminates RB Leipzig 2-1 on aggregate. This was a little too close for comfort, but obviously understanding the situation with Real Madrid, with obviously the injuries in the back line, no Thibaut Courtois. Once again, they don't really have a nine. So despite that, they're still able to win matches. But RB Leipzig, I think, hats off to them. Solid performance on their part. Manchester City, man, just doing what Manchester City does, man. They end up eliminating Copenhagen 6-2 wasn't even fair. Wasn't even fair. That's all I gotta say. Wasn't even fair. Continuing on, Arsenal eliminates FC Porto in penalties. I'm not gonna lie to y'all. I had some Vietnam flashbacks of the Sporting match that you know when they played Sporting last year in the Europa League. But you know what? Arsenal gets it done. Went to pens, but hey, beggars can't be choosers. Barcelona, after a 1-1 draw against Napoli, flipped the switch and beat them 3-1 in the second leg, moving on in aggregate 4-2. So Barcelona continue on the Champions League dream. Borussia Dortmund, they took care of business with PSV. PSV, on aggregate 3-1. It was a 1-1 draw in the first leg, but then it was a 2-0 win against Dortmund. And yeah, Dortmund just very solid performance on their part. Definitely something positive to take for them. Now, the matchup that I thought was going to be the best one, and that was Atletico Madrid and Inter Milan, and it did not disappoint. They drew 2-2 on aggregate, so they had to go to penalties, and Atletico Madrid ends up winning 3-2 in penalties. So the dog off is official. That's the perfect way to end a dog off, by the way, just going to pens. That's how dog you had to be, is to go in and start taking penalties to see how much of a dog. So Atletico Madrid proven to be more of a dog than Inter Milan. So props to them. All right. So the quarterfinals for Champions League, the matches will be played. The first legs will be on April 9th and April 10th. And the second legs will be April 16th and April 17th. So those are the dates to remember. Once again, we'll preview the quarter. We'll actually do a preview of the quarterfinals when we get closer to it. Look at that April 5th episode to be the one that we do talk about them, about these matchups a little bit more in depth. But here are the drawings. So Arsenal taking on Bayern Munich. It just fucking sucks, man. I know this isn't the same Bayern Munich from before. I know. I get Vietnam flashbacks when I see this matchup. So we'll see what happens, man. Maybe this is a different Arsenal. This is also a very different Bayern Munich. So we'll see what happens. Harry Kane or Arsenal. That's going to be really the... This is honestly probably all that Bayern Munich has going for them now, because I don't see Bayer Leverkusen slowing down anytime soon. So the Bundesliga is probably out. They've been out of the DFB Pokal for a while. So this is literally all they got going for them. This is like Harry Kane's only shot at getting a trophy this year. So we'll see how they respond. And Real Madrid versus Manchester City. Like, how is this even fair? Like, how the fuck is this fair? Like, look, I give props to Real Madrid. Like, they have been amazing dealing with this, despite with the injuries, despite the lack of a number nine. They've been able to handle their own and win matches. Doing pretty well in La Liga as well. But you have to go up against the fucking juggernaut Manchester City. I am going to believe that Real Madrid is just a different team when it comes to Champions League, but it is very hard when you have to be matched up with Man City. Give me PSG. Give me fucking Dortmund. Give me Bayern Munich. Hell, fuck, give me Arsenal. God damn, man, this is... all right, well, we'll see how that goes, but that is my reaction, my knee-jerk reaction right now to Real Madrid and Man City. Get your popcorn ready, though, because this is always a juicy matchup, though, as well. PSG versus Barcelona, the teams that used to have Messi. So this is the teams that used to have Messi bowl. There's a lot in stake here. Also, Dembele revenge game. That's probably something that you need to mention as well for Barcelona, but for the Barcelona PSG matchup. But this will be a very interesting one. Both of these teams have had struggles in the Champions League for quite some time. So we'll see who can overcome it and get into the semifinals. And then the last one is Atletico Madrid versus Borussia Dortmund. I think this is a very interesting matchup. I might be more intrigued to watch this one than anything else. And it's because, like, how does Borussia Dortmund respond to the dog mentality that Atletico Madrid has? That's what I'm intrigued by. So I definitely think that this will be a very interesting matchup. But yeah, so those are the matchups for Champions League. So once again, the dates, so the first legs will be April 9th and April 10th, and the second legs will be April 16th and April 17th. So those are the dates. Get excited. And we'll go ahead and segue over to players of the week. All right, guys, players of the week is brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is an amazing website or app, depending on how you're using it. It is everything that you need when it comes to tickets, when it comes to live events, sports, music, theater, anything that is in a live setting, SeatGeek has what you need. It has a very easy grading system that involves colors. If it's green, that means it's a great deal. Go ahead and buy the tickets. If it's red, that means look elsewhere because you're going to find a better deal. And if you want to make things even sweeter for yourselves, if for your first time users only at SeatGeek, if you guys use the code BELLYUPSPORTS at checkout, you'll save yourself $20 off your first purchase at SeatGeek.com. So thank you again, SeatGeek, for being the presenting partner of Players of the Week. Edwards Player of the Week is Robert Lewandowski, who scored a goal and two assists in Barcelona's 3-0 victory against Atletico Madrid. And I'm sure Edward's even more happier because now he's got another victory onto the singing bet table, which is getting a little tighter now. That draw really has bit me in the ass because now it's me and Edward trying to avoid being in that dreaded last place. But Robert Lewandowski came up big for him. And then my player of the week is Vinicius Jr. He scored two goals in Real Madrid's 4-2 win against Osasuna. I was planning on trying to give it to Federico Valverde because he did have three assists in that match, but I mean, it's Vinny, so I ended up giving it to him. So congratulations to Robert Lewandowski and Vinicius Jr. for being our players of the week. Make sure you guys use that code BELLYUPSPORTS at SeatGeek.com for your first purchase. Save yourself $20 off your first purchase at SeatGeek.com. All right, guys, games to watch this weekend. It's international break, so there's two things to know. One, international soccer, which is always great. And two, MLS doesn't care. So they're going to continue playing on. In NWSL, we got the Portland Thorns taking on Gotham FC, the best name ever in sports. And in MLS, we got St. Louis FC taking on DC United and Sporting Kansas City versus the LA Galaxy. In an international break for Friday, if you guys are listening to this on Friday, we have Norway versus Czech Republic, Nigeria versus Ghana, Albania versus Chile, Netherlands versus Scotland, Tunisia versus Croatia, Spain versus Colombia. That's going to be juicy. And Argentina versus El Salvador. So Messi wants another shot at El Salvador getting some more CONCACAF in his world. On Saturday, Denmark versus Switzerland, England versus Brazil, France versus Germany, and Costa Rica versus Honduras. So we got some heavyweight matches on Saturday. And on Sunday, to ease your way through that the finale of that weekend, we have Ecuador versus Italy and Guatemala versus Venezuela. So some juicy, juicy matchups there. Like I said, man, there's a lot of games going on this weekend. But if you guys just need a beginner's guide, well, here's some matches for you guys to go ahead and check out. So we're going to go ahead and take a break, and then you're going to go right into five-a-side draft bucket list sporting events with Peter Van Seventer of Belly Up Fantasy. Let me tell you guys about Belly Up Sports. Belly Up Sports is the internet sports bar. Go ahead and check out their website, www.bellyupsports.com, to read some great articles from great writers all across the country, from hockey, baseball, golf, soccer, you name it. Belly Up Sports is the premier, not your average, website. All right, guys, so we got another member of the Belly Up Sports family here. We got Peter over there from the fantasy side, I believe.
Yes, sir. Running the social on the fantasy side. A lot of fun. Can't wait to do this draft with you.
All right, so this draft is going to be bucket list sporting events. So there's a ton of sports. Obviously, we're talking about Belly Up Sports beer. We cover everything when it comes to sports. And, you know, there's got to be at least some sporting main event attraction that you definitely want to see at some point in your life. I definitely have some, and it's not just soccer related, so I'm sure that we're gonna have some good ones here. So it's pretty straightforward, five-a-side draft, pick our top five. It's a snake order draft. So Peter, do you want to go first, have that first pick, or do you want to take advantage of that back-to-back picks?
I want that back-to-back. I want second, third. I think I got some good ones.
He's a fan, you know, he's the fantasy side guy. Of course, he knows the value of the snake order draft. So, all right. So I'll start things off. I mean, I am a soccer podcast host. I should pick this one, and that is obviously the FIFA World Cup.
Yeah, that was my 1-1 too. Makes too much sense. It's that's the easy choice. You have to take it.
It's the most expensive ticket probably too. So
yeah. Okay. So the two I would go with back to back. My first one, I think just and I think this also depends is if your team is in it, of course, but I would say the Super Bowl. I think the Super Bowl is a once in a lifetime opportunity. It's, you know, a big week of events. It's a lot of fun. It's, you know, nights out, and then it's game day on Sunday. There's nothing better than seeing your team in the Super Bowl and hopefully winning it. So that's my two.
I would say bet it's better if your team's on it, but I would go even if my team's not in it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, that's definitely true. And then I think my number three, and I think so I was going to do a soccer one, but I don't want to do soccer because I think that it gets a little interesting if I said like the Euros, Copa America, gets a little tough there. So I think my three, I would go the Masters. I think the Masters is one, it's a very exclusive event. No one, you know, you really have to be on a list to get there. I think it's a lot of, you know, it's they always show the Masters menu, the prices of the food and stuff. It's very cheap once you're there, and it's just a lot of fun, and there's really no experience like it.
Yeah, and think about like it's after March Madness, and then you're able to relax and be in Augusta. So yeah, that's and you said very exclusive. Like you have to somehow have a seat at the table in order to be part of it. So I think that's a major event that I would want to be a part of.
Yes, sir.
All right. So I just got into Formula One. I've been obsessed with this.
Yeah.
Mainly because of Drive to Survive. For you guys that are racing snobs that maybe hate me for that, just hate me for that. But I'm going to go with this race because I think it's really cool, and that's Monaco.
Yeah, that's a great pick. I was looking up some, like, because obviously the major sports, but I think honestly it's the sports that aren't as major, you know, that have the coolest events because there's such a different culture compared to, like, an American sport where it's, like, very – fundamentally the same throughout. These foreign sports, a lot more fun, different cultures, you divulge yourself in there. I think it's a good experience. I love that choice.
Yeah, and then I'm gonna come back to America. I'll finally pick something American. And I mean, obviously we know what sport is king here in this country, and one of the funnest rivalries, at least I think it looks like it as an outsider, would be Michigan Ohio State.
Yeah, that's a great choice again. Love that pick. So. Okay, so I got a rivalry for you. And this, I think this is a rivalry that everyone would want to go to. I think that when you think of soccer, you think of these two teams, El Clasico. El Clasico has to be up there. I knew I had to get a soccer one in there. I don't think that it would have made sense to put the Euros or Copa America in there because you just can't compare that to the World Cup. It's just not the same. El Clasico is something different. It's the Galacticos taking on Barcelona, taking on the Catalinas, if I'm not mistaken. Catalonians. But it's just such a great rivalry, especially you look through their history. You see Messi and Ronaldo, but even further back, you see Figo on Barcelona changing teams to go to Madrid. You see Ronaldo changing from Barcelona to go to Madrid. You see Johan Cruyff back in the day on Barcelona. There's just so much rich history there, and I think that is – I mean, they hate each other. There's bad blood. They make it known there's bad blood. I think that's a great rivalry.
Yeah.
And then – yeah.
Especially as I'm a Madridista, that should have been something I would have mentioned, but I mean – no, that's a solid pick. It's definitely me and Edward's bucket list of what we want to do eventually.
Yes, no, it's a great time. And then, selfishly, I was thinking the North London Derby just because I'm a Tottenham fan, but I don't think that's nearly as close to El Clasico, sadly. But if I had to give my number four, I think I would go an event. I want to get out of professional sports for a second. I really think the Final Four is one of those experiences that you'll never be able to have in your life because your college team, especially if your team from college makes it, they might never make it again. I remember my friend, his freshman year at South Carolina, It was when Sindarius Thornwell was on South Carolina. Mm-hmm. They made a crazy run, I think, as a 7 seed. I believe they beat Duke in March Madness in like the Sweet 16 or something. Don't quote me on that, but it was an amazing run. I really loved what they were doing. And yeah, I think just seeing your teams make those runs, like the VCUs, the Butlers of the world, these crazy teams, San Diego State, FAU last year, it's really just Cinderella stories. And I'm a sucker for underdogs winning. I love seeing the underdogs come out of nowhere and just show some fight. And I think that's what college basketball is all about. So I'd say the Final Four is my fourth choice.
Yeah, I've missed the bag twice now. I'm from Houston, and obviously we've had like two Final Fours now in recent years here, and just don't have the funds for it. But yeah, I definitely would love.
Oh, it's tough, man. It's expensive. Like, it's not like a – you'd think it would be a little cheaper because it's like, oh, you want to get the college kids there, but they kind of make it a little bit more like a – similar to the Super Bowl. Like, they focus more on the event versus, like, the sport itself a little bit. But – that is what it is.
Yeah, it's very true. For my fourth pick, I think, man, I can go multiple places, but I'm going to go with the old firm derby, Celtic versus Rangers. That's one of the oldest rivalries in all of the game. And, I mean, I'm going in there as neutral as possible. I've heard it gets pretty dangerous over there in Scotland. So I am not going to test it by any means, but I think that obviously the history, same thing what you said with El Clasico, it's like historically what these two teams have would be awesome to experience, at least firsthand. Plus, like, European fandom is just a whole different level.
When people compare American sports and rivalry, it's just like you really can't because – just being in a European like atmosphere, being in as a fan of Tottenham and like a fan of the Premier League in general, I was just watching the Luton game right now. It's crazy. Like, those fans are in the tightest packed arena in the country and they're fighting for their lives to stay out of the relegation battle. That's why it's better, because there's no tanking in Europe. There's never going to be a team that's trying to lose to get a better pick. It's like, you go down, you might be down there a while. Like, my friend, again, Leeds United fan. They got relegated last season. They're fighting for their lives to get back up to the Prem. And if they don't do it this year, they're going to lose everyone. And then they're stuck in that cycle for a little bit. And the passion they have for their towns, like, they never like just, you know, choose the best team. They choose where they're from, what makes them proud, and they embody and they do anything for that badge. So I love that pick.
Yeah. And then my last pick, I'm going to go with the Olympic Games. It's a once in a lifetime, you know, experience. I'm sure every 4 years, so just like a World Cup would be. But yeah, the Olympic Games, I think, is like the one time where we're all just watching these random sports like track and field. Like, I can't tell you I watch any track and field throughout any other time besides the Olympics.
Yeah, I love that pick. I think that's a great pick. Obviously, it's just, you know, countries going at each other. It's really just about, you know, pride for your country, just doing whatever you can to get that medal. I love that. My fifth pick, so I had two. I'm going to give my honorable mention first. The Little League World Series. I went to it in Williamsport when I was at Bucknell studying there. Incredible time. But obviously, I get it. A lot of people don't just want to watch, like, kids play baseball. But, like, I think it's just such an experience. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's seeing all these, you know, 10-year-olds till 12-year-olds just fighting for their lives on the baseball diamond. And I think that's very unique, very cool. It's all live, which is a very just different, you know, atmosphere than used to.
But it's also crazy to think, like, man, some of these kids might be in the MLB.
They show the throwback pictures. I think they made it better because they have, if I'm not mistaken, they have one of the fields is as big as an MLB field. And they have, like, an MLB game there every year now. And they show, like, in the past, like, oh, some guys played in the Little League World Series that are now playing now, which is really cool. But my last pick, I'm going to go outside of, like, the main sports. It's going to be interesting. I'm going to go the Kentucky Derby. I think that is just – you have to go with one of the big three, the Belmont, the Kentucky Derby. And I'm forgetting the last one I think it's in Maryland, if I'm not mistaken. But I really – the Preakness, sorry. I really love just horse racing. I love how everyone gets into it. People get dressed up for it. It's really for everyone. It's not just for like the avid sports fans. It's for people that are just, you know, love a unique, exclusive experience. They really want to just be like a little, you know, they want to be different for the day. They don't want to just be their usual selves. They don't want to be casual. They really want to take it to the next level. And I think the Kentucky Derby is perfect. It's the fastest, like 2 minutes in sports. It's awesome. I love the Kentucky Derby. It's an amazing experience. I would love to go to that.
Yeah, I like you just said, like with the pageantry. I think that overall is just like really awesome. I think an honorable mention that I would probably say is kind of going outside the sports.
Yeah, of course.
I guess you can't say it now, but I mean, back in the day, I would say it'd be really cool to see like a heavyweight boxing match. You know, back in the day, probably not now anymore. Like to go back in time to go see, you know, George Foreman versus Muhammad Ali or something like that, that would have been.
Yeah, for sure. It's a little different now when it's just, and hey, they would knock me the fuck, or they would knock me out, pardon my language, but I don't need to see Jake Paul. I don't need to see KSI. They'd knock me out, but like, I don't want to watch that. That's not boxing. Like, give me the MMA over that. Even recently, like, as you said, back in the day, it was much more intense, much more fun. Just the other weekend, if I'm not mistaken, Anthony Joshua knocked out Francis Ngannou. No one really talked about it. Like, I found out, and again, this might just be me because I'm not following boxing enough, but I found out, like, the day before they were boxing. And it's just, like, back in the day when it was even, like, you know, Floyd versus Pacquiao back in the day. And that was, like, the last big, big boxing, I would say. Because obviously McGregor fought, but he's not a boxer. Like, that's so, like... But back then, like, it's just so much different now. And I just don't think people care as much about boxing like they did back then. And it's unfortunate.
Yeah, for sure. But, all right, so that is the draft. I think this was a really fun draft, just talking about the different sporting events, of course. Peter, thank you so much for joining us to go ahead and do this closing segment. This is now your time. This is where you can shamelessly plug whatever you want to plug for yourself and for Belly Up Fantasy.
Yeah, no, for sure, man. Just want to say thank you for having me, Hector. Love it. Just please, everyone, if you want to, you know, follow some fantasy advice, follow some gambling trends, follow just what's happening in the world of sports, Belly Up Fantasy, we got you covered. It's going to be a big March Madness coming up. We got a bracket that we created. There's going to be some fun prizes there. I'm going to tweet out the link from the Belly Up Fantasy account. You guys should definitely hop on in, join in on the fun. You know, there's nothing like March Madness. Truly, you don't need to be an expert on college basketball. You don't need to start watching until the day of the tournament. Just get that bracket in, have fun, and yeah, enjoy March. And then lastly, I don't know if it's you or your buddy, but whoever's the Arsenal fan, we might have to talk sometime because I'm a big Tottenham guy, and I've seen some of your tweets attacking Tottenham, and I don't like it. I don't like you guys attacking my guy Big Ange.
That's me.
Oh, I don't like it. I'm not a fan of it one bit. Like, I'll say this. Arsenal has some good players. I respect Declan Rice a lot. Odegaard, I really love. You guys need to get a number 9. I don't know who that's going to be, but you guys got to get that number 9 position figured out.
Yeah, that's definitely something I've been complaining about. It's definitely not Gabby Jesus, that's for sure.
You think it's Tony? I saw his interview this morning, and he just seems like a bad character a little bit. He's talking about going to Real Madrid, just discreet, just kind of a kick in the balls to Brentford fans. Just so disrespectful to a club that really took care of him when he had a gambling suspension throughout the whole season. And he's kind of just been a bad guy about it.
Yeah, I kind of think he's a little overrated, but that's just me.
Yeah, no, you're not right. Maybe you're right. Maybe you guys make that I mean, I think if Mbappe doesn't go to Madrid, but I think he's definitely going. Arsenal, if Thierry Henry gets on a phone with him, what can he convince him?
Yeah, I'm just not a fan of the idea of him following Thierry Henry's entire career path, because as a Madrid fan, I don't think I would want to see him in Barcelona. if he were to replicate Henry's career path.
So would you, I guess that's a question for you, would you rather him just go to Madrid, or would you rather him go to Arsenal, but then it also means he might go to Barca after?
I honestly think Real Madrid doesn't necessarily need Mbappe. I mean, shoot, half their team's injured right now, and they're still kind of balling out right now.
Yeah.
We'll see how they do against Man City. But like, Mbappe, I mean, if it was for one shot, one time for Arsenal to somehow win the Prem and win a possible Champions League, maybe I would take it, even if it means he's going to Barcelona.
Even if it means, I mean, that's the thing. Like, he's that big of a, I think he'd be that guy that Arsenal just, if Arsenal had a true in it, like, Saka's incredible, don't get me wrong, but I don't think, and this might just be me hating a little bit, I don't think he can be the best player on a Premier League winning team. Like, champion, like, winner of the Premier League, I don't think he can be the best player on the team. I think he'd be a perfect person to pair with, like, an Mbappe or maybe a Victor Osimhen. Maybe that's who you get at your number nine. Mm-hmm. I think he'd be good in Arsenal. But, yeah, I mean, Saka's great. He should start in the Euros, no doubt. He's definitely – I think Odegaard's your best player. I think your most important is Declan Rice, though.
Yeah, I've been loving it every minute of it. But, yeah, Edward does tell me I need to chill out with the Tottenham. With the Tottenham shots, but
no, it's all fun and games. Hey, you know what? We play in one at 1:30 today. I just know it's going to be a terrible game to watch at Craven Cottage. Right when they get us on a high, right when we beat Villa 4-0, everything's going well. We're about to crash so hard. I just know it. It's the story of Tottenham. But yeah, hopefully Big Ange can figure it out.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, he's been doing a really good job, so I've been impressed by Tottenham. So definitely for a fact, but. Thank you so much, Peter. Make sure you guys check out Belly of Fantasy, man. They have done amazing. Rebranded, right? You guys have a new look.
Rebrand, a big rebrand. My guys, Billy, Chris, Jordan, and Brandon, really big on this rebrand. We're really trying to get all out there. We're trying to give you guys everything you need to know, not just fantasy football. We know that's been a focus in the past. We really want to go in on all sports, including soccer, basketball, baseball, hockey, you know. Hey, horse racing, you know, car racing, Formula One, NASCAR. We really want to just get it all out there, hit a bunch of different audiences, really bring the fantasy and betting community together and really just have a good time.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Peter. And definitely we'll try to bring you on to so you can talk some footy as well.
Oh, yeah, dude. If we want to talk footy before the Euros or when it's I know at the end of the season, you guys are going to be cheering for Tottenham because 3 weeks in a row we got Man City, Arsenal, Liverpool. So maybe we'll have to talk before then.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. So thank you so much, Peter. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, have a good one, Hector.
All right, guys. Thank you so much, Peter, for coming on. Check him out. Check out Belly Up Fantasy, man. If you guys are really into sports gambling and fantasy sports, well, that is a great place to go and get some first-hand knowledge, if you will. So go ahead and check them out. Also, check out bellyofsports.com, man. It has articles across all things sports. So check them out, bellyofsports.com. Follow them on Instagram and X at bellyofsports and at bellyofmedia. Also at bellyoffantasy. So you guys are going to know what's going on at bellyofsports. Shout out to Goals TV, Jose and them. They have been doing an amazing job with that platform. If you guys don't know, Goals TV is basically your one-stop shop of all things American soccer content. So if you guys want to know the American's perspective, maybe you're an MLS fan and you don't find coverage on your team, well, it's going to be there on Goals TV. If you're just an MLS fan in general, there's going to be MLS content. You'll see me there every once in a while over there with Wake Up MLS, and maybe I'll pop my head up with Yanks of the Roundtable. Two really great shows from original shows for Goals TV. So go ahead and check them out, goals.tv, golz.tv, and follow them on Instagram at golz.tv. Once again, at golz.tv, and on the X at golz_TV. Lots of great content. Once again, you'll see me there every once in a while. So go ahead and check it out. And of course, man, shout out to Spencer, bro. Spencer is just the best. I reached out to him, you know, last week to make a beat for a Dragon Ball Z theme beat for in honor of Akira Toriyama, and he said say less, and bro just keeps bringing out the fire, man. It is awesome what he does for the show. So if you guys need some beat work done, man, hit up Spencer on Instagram at that guy dope. Once again, at that guy dope. Just send him a DM, tell him that you need some beats, and he'll take great care of you like he always does with us. So that's all I really got, man. Thank you so much for Majib to come on for the interview. Thank you to Peter Van Saventer for coming on to doing the top five-a-side draft. Thank you to Belly of Sports and everybody. Thank you for listening. Catch us next week for episode 168. Take care, guys.
Wednesday again.